Now hear these words from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Most of you were in attendance a few weeks ago now, when we had our first contemplative practice training session down in the fellowship hall on contemplative prayer. And if you remember anything from that, you might remember the breath prayer that Sandy Kipfer introduced us to, the idea that you can pray as naturally as you breathe. And if you can train yourself to pray as you breathe, then prayer can become as easy and as automatic as your own breathing. And one of the techniques for doing this is to repeat the same kind of prayer over and over again in rhythm with your breathing. So you would say one phrase mentally while you breathe in. It's hard to talk when you're breathing in out loud. If you ever tried that, you'll know. It's really hard to do that. You should try it sometime. I hadn't tried it till just now. But then you repeat the next phrase of the prayer as you breathe out. And one of the most classic breath prayers comes from this passage from Luke 18. It's modified a bit. The tax collector says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we expand that a little bit to address Jesus. We say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So as you breathe in, you pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And as you breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's an ancient prayer that goes way back in Christian history, at least as far back as the Eastern Orthodox Church, which is 1,000-plus years old. It has been practiced by many Christians for many centuries, this same prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, in whatever language people know, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The intent of this prayer is to bring us in union with God. It's not intended just to be something mindless that you repeat over and over again. The intent of it is to unite us with God, even as we have strayed from God. We recognize that we have sinned and we have turned from the Lord, and yet we pray in a way that brings us closer to God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's all about humility versus pride. Pride is the original sin. Some have called it the root of all sin. It's what all sin is based on. Anything that displeases God is because of our choice to be prideful in and of ourselves. Going all the way back to the first sin recorded in Scripture, where Adam and Eve are in the garden, and they thought that they could flaunt God's instructions and become like God themselves, their sin was not just disobedience. Their sin was pride. Believing that they could become like God, or could even take the place of God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. this condition of pride affects all of us in various ways. Our pride can make us work to appear more holy than we are, or can make us desire to appear more righteous than other people. At least we're not as bad as those people over there. Look how close we are to God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus spoke specifically to this issue. Believe it or not, there were people in his time, too, who thought that they were super righteous and looked down on other people. It's a perennial issue. As long as there have been people who thought that they were better than other people. It's common to the hearts of everyone. We all want to believe that who we are is basically good, even if we're not really happy with who we are. At least we're not as bad or as evil or as misguided as those people over there, whoever they are. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's an ancient Jewish blessing, much older than this breath prayer. It goes way back in Jewish history. It's still recited today by faithful Jewish men at the beginning of each day. And it comes in three phrases, three statements. And it goes like this. One of the first things that you would say as you woke up in the morning, you would say, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has not made me a Gentile. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has not made me a slave. And blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has not made me a woman." It might sound strange to our ears, especially to those of us who are female, because that seems a little demeaning on the face of things. I agree with you on that and think that it might be a little bit dated, perhaps, as a prayer. I'm certainly not going to suggest that you try to start each day like that, gentlemen. Especially on a day like Valentine's Day, it's probably not a great move. But in the best understanding, as I did some research into this blessing, in the best understanding, this prayer is one that balances humility and gratitude. In the Jewish law, in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, men are given many more commands to follow. In Hebrew, they're called mitzvot. They're given many more commands to follow than women are. And one way of understanding this is that it signifies that men have further to go in their spiritual lives. They are perhaps further away from God to begin with, and so they have to do more to sort of catch up. And so it's a prayer of gratitude in the end, maybe, that Jewish men have more opportunities to move closer to God because they start from further away. Of course, from a Christian perspective, we read texts like Galatians 3:28 that tell us that there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. All three of those categories are broken down because we are all one in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So it's not surprising that Jesus tells a parable about two men, one of whom prays a familiar-sounding prayer. "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this filthy tax collector. Look how righteous I am." His prayer is a perversion of that ancient blessing. He has forgotten humility in the presence of God. But the tax collector, one who is vilified by his neighbors because he works for the Roman government and extorts his own people for his own profit, the tax collector approaches God differently. He goes up to the temple to pray, but he stands at a distance. He comes close to God, but he recognizes that he is not worthy to get too close to God. His posture is a mixture of obedience and humility. So he prays, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is how Jesus would have us live and worship God, by coming close to him, by recognizing, though at the same time, that we cannot come too close on our own. God invites us into his presence. He makes it possible for us to know him through Jesus Christ. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we might know God's presence personally. But our task is to remain humble, to stand at a distance, and to recognize that it is only by God's grace that we or anyone can know God. To remember that we are all one with all of those who pursue Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What we have in common with all other people is a need for humility before God. We do not own God. We do not have a monopoly on God. We do not control God. Instead, we are deeply and profoundly loved by God, so much so that he mercifully grants us forgiveness at great cost to himself. That's the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, which we will celebrate on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, respectively. This season of Lent, which begins today, is a season of preparation for that celebration. Now, we could celebrate Good Friday and Easter with the same attitude as the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. God, I thank you that I am not like other people who do not know about Jesus and his resurrection. God, I thank you that Jesus died and rose again to save me from my sins. Look at how good and righteous my life is now that I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. We could pray that way. And in one sense, those are not altogether terrible prayers. But instead of taking that attitude, we can use this time, these 6.5 weeks of Lent, to humble ourselves before God, to approach God, but to stand at a distance, to go up to the temple, but not too close, and to say, along with so many other people of faith throughout the centuries, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.